Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Jeff Fiegel's with you on this. It's a hump day, right?
Today is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. Therefore, yeah. It would be a hump day.
And where's the camel?
We're sitting here. I know you were watching practice for a hot second in the lunchroom. I stepped out there for a second to talk to Paul Dottino to make sure that he's going to keep us on top of all the big plays that are taking place out there right now at practice. It is day two of mandatory minicamp for the Giants. Tomorrow will be day three, and then they break. And then they're away for...
Oh, they break, all right.
They're away for a long, long, long time.
5 weeks till the end of July.
Right? So July 28th? July 28th.
Be a gumball rally tomorrow. These cars will be started up and see you later. I remember it was always a fun time because you'd put in the time. They call them different things now. Phase one, phase two, phase three. When I was playing, it was just basic. Off-season program was 16 weeks long. It ended right after the mini camp was over, and then, man, you were out of here. People take their vacations, and it's exciting for the people that are married and have kids. This is the time when school's out, so you really get an opportunity to go spend some good time with your family before the season starts again, because once July 28th or whatever it is when it comes back in, you're in there for the run. And so it's a special time for the players to get out of here, get their minds away from it, and not to mention the coaches too. They get a chance to go out and visit and spend time with their families, because we all know the coaches work ridiculous hours during the season. So, but I didn't see much today, Anita, because I was out there. They were doing their warm-ups, their dynamic warm-up, and then doing individual stuff. So,
and it's
so
dynamic.
Well, it is dynamic. They have music. It's dynamic music.
They talked about it yesterday in regard to what, like does everybody contribute to the playlist?
And what did they say?
That's important, right?
Yeah, I would think so, because you can't be,
Victor Cruz said that there's like a Family Feud, like every now and then, like Family Feud, the theme song to Family Feud will play. So it's like, it's a total mixed bag.
Wow.
But it's really interesting. They're out there practicing, and then all of a sudden you hear, and now we're going to break for a commercial. You know what I mean? And they're able to break and hang out, relax for a second and regain and recoup, and then boom, they're right back at it. So Ben McAdoo trying to create kind of a game-like situation for them at practice.
Well, it does. And, everything with Tom Coughlin was snap, 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 move, run to each period, get you there quickly, where Ben has a little bit almost like a TV timeout.
Exactly.
Time to just kind of relax, not relax, but just catch your breath, get a drink of water, and then slowly move to your next drill. And you better be there when the microphone comes on, period four. That's what they do now. Nobody's blowing the horn out there anymore. Joe Skiba used to be the guy that used to blow the horns between the periods and move around, but now it's all digital. It's all on the speaker, and they know where they're going. So a little bit of a different philosophy, and it's just all about the way the game is played today.
So. Another thing that I think is really exciting is the fact that, there's so many new faces.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we got to try to.
There's so many new faces on this roster and guys that are obviously, like, new teammates. I mean, and another thing, Odell Beckham Jr., again, he spoke to the media yesterday, and the first question was, how do you feel about Victor Cruz? Because Victor Cruz practiced yesterday a little bit, really jogged some routes and made some catches, caught some balls. But, man, what a great step forward. And Odell just sat there with this big smile on his face for like a good 5 seconds. Let it sink in for a second that Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't played with Victor Cruz on the football field. Mm. I mean, like how frightening is that? So, just getting
frightening
to know,
for the other team too.
Absolutely, but I mean, frightening in regard to like how frightening good can this wide receiving core be? Sterling Shepard as well, obviously a rookie. So it's like, so a lot of new faces and old faces that are just playing together for the first time.
No, and I think if you were to ask one other person that's excited about how he's on the field, that would be number 10. Having him back and knowing that him and Eli and Victor Cruz, what they did in the past and how successful they were without Odell Beckham, just goes to show you how excited he's going to get when all these guys, and like Anita said, with Shepard in the mix, continue to watch this guy just mature in front of our faces. And not that he's, has a long ways to go from where he played and where he was drafted. We all expect good things out of him. But there is a learning process when you come into the National Football League and learning how to play maybe some different positions, a different system. And it sounds to me like he's picking it up very quickly, and that's good news. That's really good news. Exciting to be able to watch this, and we think that those three guys in that lineup is scary. It is very scary.
So for those that are just watching on Twitter, we welcome you to head on over to Giants.com, where the show, obviously, you can watch online. Also, as we said, 3 full days of not just mandatory minicamp, but interviews. Today, very exciting. As soon as we get done with the show, the offensive and defensive coordinators will be made available to the media. All those interviews you'll be able to find on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon as well. So I really want to kind of throw out, there's so much to get to. I'm curious, so many battles that are going to be taking place. And I talked about this on my radio show last night. What is the one, and I do want to open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get on board, 201-939-4513. What is the one position battle, or maybe there's one player who's your dark horse, who's the guy that you're really hoping makes a big name for himself throughout, of course, training camp and wins that position for you. I'm curious, do you have a position battle you're most looking forward to, or do you have a player that you're most looking forward to really step out and make and become a household name this coming season for Giants and Giants fans? 201-939-4513. What about you, Jeff?
Well, I think I'm not going to state the obvious, which I do a lot of times. But anyways, you know, the safety position, I think we are going to keep our eyes on that. But for me personally, when you're asking me that question, I'm very interested to see what the running back position plays out here, because I feel like, you know, they had what they did last year with this rotation. Towards the end of the year, we saw that they began to run the football with the one guy, and that would be Jennings. But this position is stockpiled right now. They have a draft pick in there. You've got Williams, who's now is in the the time of his career where he has to prove that he needs to stay. You got Orleans Darkwa, who, in my opinion, is probably one of the best special teams players on the team. So where do you find a spot for him? So that, to me, is one segment of the offense I want everybody to watch is how the running back position shakes out. I think that's important to me. As far as the one player, I don't have one yet. But I would have to say, you know, maybe it might be the tight end position, whether it's Lacoste or the new draft pick.
Oh, are you on the Paul Dottino man crush with Lacoste?
No.
Have you joined that?
No. I'm saying okay. There's a battle at that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there would be something wrong with that, because I'm not going to agree with Paul all the time. You know, if he has a man crush on somebody, if I had a man crush on anybody, it wouldn't be at a tight end at a football team. So, but let me just tell you, I think that tight end position, if I'm going to watch one guy, it's probably and
Will Johnson.
No, not Will. The draft pick. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You guys know who I'm talking about. The 6th round draft pick from South Carolina.
Now you've got me. Now you've got
Gerald.
Me.
Gerald
Adams.
Adams.
There
Excuse
you go.
Me. There it is.
Yeah,
I got his first name. I want to see where
I'm
he
blonde,
kinda gets
you're
in
bald.
There. Exactly.
This is not.
I'm blind and bald sometimes.
This is not a good combination.
But you know, really, you look what that position brings to the team right now. It's and to me, it's wide open. So you know, you Will Ty, what he did last year was amazing. Coming from where he out of the school he came from was remarkable. But there'll be some competition there. But Gerald Adams, I want to see how he can compete. So the one guy I want to watch is him. And then I think that, you know, the running back position to me is something that's very interesting to see what's going to shake out there.
As I said, I spoke to Paul Dottino before we started the show. I asked him to please text me throughout the show giving updates in regard to some of the big plays that are happening. He said so far Shepard gets some snaps as starting middle linebacker today. Also, Nat Burhe is not on the field. His brother apparently has tweeted that they're pacing him.
Okay.
Which I find interesting. Family input. Eli Apple had a great play knocking down a bomb for Lewis down the right sideline. Miles White had a super catch on the left, ripped ball away from cornerback Matt Smalley. And cornerback Leon McFadden closes to break a pass for wide receiver Lewis. So
okay.
Just to kind of give you an idea of some of the highlight plays that are taking place there.
Sounds like football to me.
Right.
Right? I mean, really.
But listen, we've been talking about this. There's so much competition going on that you can't take one OTA lightly. You have an opportunity to make a play, to impress
no
a
question.
Coach, right, like on this roster
sure.
This season. I don't remember ever, like, and again, this is my seventh year covering the team. I don't remember ever there being so much competition at so many different positions, yeah. Jeff, that if ever you need to take every practice.
Every rep.
As a ton of salt, not a grain, a ton of salt. this is it.
You do. Yeah. And really, you want to make that lasting impression when you leave this building tomorrow from a player's perspective, because there will be some roster changes between now and training camp. There always is. There's players that become available on other teams, and, you know, it's just the roster is set right now. But, you know, what this thing coming in at the end of July is going to be, it's not going to be much different, but, you know, it will be. One thing that coming out of minicamp, we pretty much have an idea usually about who your 53 guys are going to be. We might you know, there may be 60 guys that we can kind of talk about.
Right.
But I feel like this year it would be really difficult to pick those 53 guys today. And I think that you probably agree with me. We'd have to really take a long look at it. Obviously, there's some givens there, but, you know, there is a lot of competition at every one of these positions, and that's what's going to make this team better, because anytime you can create competition in any sport, it brings out the best in these players. And I think that from an organizational standpoint, what Jerry Reese is trying to accomplish and what he did out there in free agency and in the draft, he's trying to really emphasize, guys, listen, if you want to make this team, you need to show us, because we're not going to be 6-10 again. And more importantly, you know, we got to win this division and get back to the playoffs.
Did you ever have any type of competition?
Oh, absolutely.
To the point where, like, they brought somebody in that you actually felt threatened by?
No. I was never, and I mean this honestly, I was never threatened by anybody. I did kind of get a little bit
nervous.
No, it's more kind of like when I was in Seattle, they drafted a punter in the seventh round. Whoop-de-doo, right? And basically, seventh round is the borderline free agent, anyways. But the fact is that I was in the last year of my contract there. And, you know, I was making, you know, good money. And I thought that this might be the point where if I lost my job, it was going to be because of that. But the only way that this guy was going to be able to beat me out is he had to be better than I was. So I knew he would never be better than I would. So if I had a chance to lose my job, it would have been because of money. But I ran him out of camp like 2 weeks into it. They cut him.
Good for you.
So, but that put a little fire under my butt, you know?
A little Fiegel swag.
A little swag.
I ran him out of camp.
He was gone. But, you know, it did.
Don't let the door hit you on the...
I will tell you though, you know, it did press me a little bit, and I got a little mad at the organization for how dare you draft a guy like that, especially I did what I had to do, but that's sometimes how you light fires under these guys' butts, is just, you know, get a little competition in there.
I want to remind you, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Here's some tweets for you. Not only are we taking your calls, we're going to get to your calls in just a hot second, 201-939-4513, but also we're checking out Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Eric Waiters. Says, competition is a great thing this year, and we have it virtually all positions. Great call, Anita. Well, thank you. Not my call. It's really Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese's call. This is from Angel. Looking forward to seeing Hankins fully embrace the role of a game-changing DT and becoming a household name.
I think everybody is. I mean, you talk about some depth. You look what's going on in that defensive line, and I agree with you. You know, to answer the question before, you know, you think about competition at every position. There's even competition for that second quarterback position this year. When you think about Nassib, you know, I mean, what's going to happen there? I mean, so I think that he's correct. It's really going to be neat to see. We'll see what happens. I mean, those preseason games are going to mean a lot to some of these guys.
Well, wait a minute. I'm curious. What do you mean competition for Nassib?
Well, I mean, the quarterback for the backup quarterback position.
Right.
I mean, I think that Ryan Nassib is the guy, but, I mean, is the organization trying to move in a little bit of a different direction? I don't know. You know, I'm just saying there's competition for the second. There's not competition for the first position. We know
right.
that. But for the second one, that, you know, you never know. You never know what can happen. They might
really?
Be.
You think so?
I'm just making conversation.
No, I know. But I find that interesting that you feel that way.
I do. I mean, you look at what happened, the guy that they let go, and I don't know his name, but I look at the money that they gave him to come in here and compete for a second-round draft. I mean, a second, you know, second quarterback. They gave him a signing bonus, and now he's not here. And they gave him a lot of money to you know, for somebody to come in and back up Eli Manning. So I think there will be some position competition there.
Interesting. AJ Marshall says, position battle I look forward to the most is the tight end position. Who'll be starting at tight end spot, Larry Donnell or Will Ty? Now, really interesting. There was a guy who called in, Carl? I want to say it's Carl. He called on in on June 1st, and he said Larry Donnell will not be on the 53. But yesterday, there was an article that was posted that Larry Donnell is being that veteran leader in the classroom. I think Larry Donnell is, even though the Giants aren't saying that it's his position to lose, I believe that it is. The Giants are not saying that. This is my own personal opinion. And the fact that now I just read this article yesterday that he's in the classroom. He's become that leader and that teacher and that extension of Gilbride Jr. in the classroom.
Good for him.
To me, that he's not expendable. I do see Larry Donnell being a part of this 53.
Why? Listen, unless it's a health wise, I think that he's definitely gonna be. Listen, they don't just carry one tight end. There's going to be three of them. So I mean, he's
well,
in the
of course,
mix.
Yeah. If it's a health issue in the neck.
But I'm saying that's the only reason I don't see him being on the roster, to agree with that guy.
Right.
But other than from a talent standpoint, there's no way he's not going to be on the
roster.
Well,
that's what he meant. He meant by a talent standpoint.
Yeah. He's going to be here.
Yeah. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Jerome is calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina. He wants to talk about Eli. Jerome, welcome. You're first up.
Hey, how y'all doing? I just want to say I listen to y'all every day. Love you. I know Eli normally have a camp where he just have his, like, receivers, maybe a couple of linemen come in during the break. Has he has it yet, or is still up in the air when he's going to have it?
I haven't heard about it. I haven't heard about the camp. Don't they do it at Duke University?
Yeah, but I always thought that it was before. I don't know. You know, we haven't heard anything about it, so I hate to speculate that it's going to happen or not.
Right.
But you know, maybe they feel like they've gotten enough work in here in the OTAs and in the mini camp that they don't need it this year. Who knows?
And one more quick question about Andre Williams. I believe if they say he's on the bubble with the Giants, but I've seen him in college. I've seen them, you know, little spurts. I believe if the Giants let him go, he won't go 2 days before he's picked up by another team and can be a big star with teams like Tampa Bay, Chargers, you know, those other teams that need a dependable back. He hasn't really been used with the Giants. You know, Giants just making him just basically sit around.
Yeah. Well, I think that the Giants are going to give.
Thank you for the phone call, by the way.
They are going to give Andre Williams every opportunity to make this roster because, number one, he's a high draft pick, and, you know, they have a lot invested in him. So now it's up to this young man to come out and prove the naysayers wrong, that he belongs on this team. And I think that Coach McAdoo will definitely give him the opportunity. I like what they've seen so far this offseason. And now it's just up to him to go out and prove that he can be on that 53-man roster. And that's, again, like I said, I think that that's one of the reasons I want to look at that position as a whole, because I think there is extreme competition there.
So last year, one thing that Andre Williams did in regard to spending more time working on one skill set was eye-hand coordination.
Sure.
And I think we talked about it, where he got these like really cool like blinking glasses. Okay, so it was really cool. So and by the way, you can go to Giants.com and at the top right corner it says search, and search Andre Williams special glasses. And the video will come up. We did a special piece.
Wow, okay.
We did a special piece on it, and he wore these special glasses. And so what would happen was they would blink, so he would be blind for a quick second. And he spent time with one of the trainers catching tennis balls, and then after like the first 15, 20 minutes, he started catching racquetballs. Well, it's a lot more difficult to catch a blue racquetball while you're
smaller,
right? And it's blue as opposed to like bright yellow tennis ball. So that's something that he did last year. This offseason, he started taking martial arts. and he feels that he's in the best shape ever. But the biggest knock on Andre Williams and where he's really been struggling is his vision in regard to hitting the hole at the proper time.
Yeah.
Have you ever played with a running back who had that issue, and what were they able to do? Or did you know a running back in the league who had that issue, and what were they able to do to accomplish to get over that?
Well, I know I don't, but I can tell you that, you know, it comes from a couple things. You know, really getting in and studying and self-scouting yourself. So go back, you know, go back into college. He was very successful in the college. What made him that successful? It wasn't like all of a sudden overnight that you just can't find the running hole, you know? So maybe that's one thing you can do. And I think what he's doing off the field is important. You try to always try to improve your skill by making adjustments to your routines and doing things different. I know back in the years I did some Taekwondo stuff just more for the stretching and hip work. Do different types of workouts, you know, just something to give you that leg up and to try to make the team. So I commend him what he's done. But more importantly, I think to answer your question, Nita, is probably just, you know, going through and looking to see what he didn't do last year and improve on that. So whether it has to be a little bit more patient and letting the hole develop, where opposed to just hitting it as fast as you can and not letting it develop. So who knows? So I think it's more film study than anything.
We just, from our producer here, the Manning Passing Academy.
Okay, there it is.
Is Thursday, June 23rd through Sunday, June 26th. But I think that's a passing academy for like young.
Yeah, it's a
young
camp.
Young men.
It's a camp for everybody
right.
to go to. Sure.
You know that, you know, girls aren't, they don't have any girls there, which I don't dig.
At the passing academy?
Yeah. Because that's something growing up, because I played the quarterback position, I totally.
You cannot sign up, but
if you're a female, no, you can't. Maybe that's a conversation I need to have with Eli on the side at some point in time. But anyway, his passing academy, Thursday, June 23rd through Sunday, June 26th. But I don't think that's what the caller was talking about. I think the caller was talking about
getting the guys together.
Getting the guys together, you know, and hanging out for a few days
right.
and going out some university's field and just
that's what
chucking
I
the rock.
About. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Right.
Exactly.
That's, yeah. Yep. That's not sure if, A, that's taken place yet. This year, or if it will. Let's go to Andre in Rochester. Andre, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Benita Marks and Jeff Feagles.
Hey, Andre.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Guys and girls.
It's all good.
I want to get back to the thoughts of having Victor, having Odell, having Shepard. Now, that's very scary for a defense, which brings me to the other side of the ball. Who's going to corner the slot corner week one? Who's covering Vic Beasley, because I can't really see Ray doing that job for,
well,
say, 25% of the game.
Well, we've seen Eli Apple play a little bit of that slot, okay? We've also seen Jenkins can play a little bit of slot if he has to. Dante Dion, the free agent guy, has really opened some people's eyes in camp. He's playing a lot of that slot corner. One of those guys is going to have to step up, and we'll see what happens. But I think that they have a plan from a coaching perspective, and just a matter of who's the guy that comes out ahead and during training camp. Because, you know, when you look at Jenkins, you know, he's an outside guy, but he can come in and play some slot. So it's just a matter of matchups, like this game is all about. We'll see what happens. Who do you think could be there?
I like the kid Dante Dion, actually.
Okay.
I'll take you guys' comments off here. I got bothered to do this. Thanks.
You got it, Andre. Thanks for calling. I'm hearing good things about him as well.
He's a scrappy player, and I know he's in. Jesse Armstead and I were talking about him last week, and he told me to watch out for this kid. He said, you know, he's not very big, but you know, he's one of those guys that he can talk to smack, and he's a tough dude, and he's got good speed. So we'll see what happens. You know, there's a reason why he was a free agent and he wasn't drafted. So we'll see if those characteristics come out somewhere down the line. And what that is, I don't know. But usually when you're a street free agent, there's a reason why you didn't get drafted in the NFL, because you're lacking something. Whether it's intelligence, it's speed, it's size, whatever it is, there's something there that he'll have to overcome and to make this team.
Really quick, last year in April, Eli, Victor Cruz, Beckham, and Randall all worked out at Duke.
There it was.
So, but that was last year in April, just FYI.
Yeah, so that, you know, in April, it's always cold around here, and they want to get a jump start on the OTA. So that's kind of what the caller was talking about, right?
All right, let's continue with the calls. We go to Alex in Sacramento. Alex wants to talk about the position battle.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Jeff. Hi, Anita. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good.
All right, guy and gal, pardon me.
It's all
good. She doesn't want to.
I don't care.
She doesn't care.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
I know. I have a habit of doing that, too. So, all good. I just wanted to, it's funny. Dr. Dion was one of the folks I wanted to talk about, which was just brought up. And this is a great question, by the way, because when you kind of look deeper into the battles, you're really almost defining what depth is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, that depth is two things that the Giants like to do is, one, have hybrid players, and then specialists. For example, Snacks is a run specialist. And I think Dion on the defensive side is my player to watch, because I think that this league, the way it's being not just played right now, but the personnel that we go up against, it's going to have a lot of these crafty, small receivers that, as much as I love DRC's, Janoris's, and Eli's talents, I think that there are a lot of smaller, crafty receivers that can use that to their advantage in a way that kind of trumps some of the skill sets of our number one and number two, and even our number three D-backs. So I think if Dante Dion, lives up to what he's kind of started, I think it's going to be really, really exciting, and it makes our cornerback depth massive when you can add a player that can specialize against certain personnel opponents.
He's 5'9", 158 pounds. I mean, 158 pounds playing the National Football League. That tells you something about his demeanor, right? I mean, he's a tough dude at 158 pounds.
Right.
And there's a – right. But there are a lot of receivers out there these days that are the 5'10", 170,
sure.
That are also kind of tough guys in short that you actually need to have a guy that's a little smaller to match up with these guys
because,
that are a little smaller.
Yeah, because the quarterbacks, they're putting it down there low, and these young low receivers, the guys that are 5'10", 5'11", they're making those catches. You get a little scrappy guy like Dante Dion, I mean, he could be in the mix. So it's going to be great to follow this young kid and see how every year, no matter how long you've been doing this in this business, each team, there's one or two guys that you come into training camp, that you come out of mini camps and the OT, that you have your eye on. And you always hope to, you exactly use the right word, you're cheering for these guys because, it is so hard to make an NFL football team. There's 53 guys when you think about it. And, these guys, if they do make it as a street free agent, it's even more remarkable. So you root for these young guys,
Totally, totally. And then on the offensive side, really quick, it's an interesting thing. It's half the comment is on the battle itself and half the comment is on the player I'm cheering for. And that's the tight end position.
Yep.
And the most interesting scenario going on here, this is on the hybrid side of the depth, as opposed to the specialist, is Will Johnson. And, from all accounts, character-wise and professionally, this guy is kind of sort of Giants born and bred. This guy's a really good dude. He really cares. Good leader. But it's his ability, I think, to bring out the tougher side of our run-blocking defense, along with Jarrell Adams. He's a guy that Jarrell Adams could be inspired by because of his blocking and toughness. And I think that tight end battle, if Larry Donnell stays healthy, the battle I'm kind of looking for is Will Ty realizing, uh-oh, I really got to learn how to block if I'm going to stay on this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm cheering for Will Johnson because I think he'll be a better player for us than Will Ty. But I'm kind of cheering for the battle because if Will Ty is able to, accomplish and win this battle somehow, it means he'll be extremely well-rounded and great player. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
Good point.
But I'm cheering for Will Johnson. You know what I mean?
Yep. He's got experience. He's a veteran. So, you figure that he's going to be in that mix. And the way that this offense is run with not really having a fullback and, you bring those tight ends to play that position. That he's one of those guys that you have to look at, and I love your point, and the point is well taken. Is the fact that when you talk about Will Ty, what he didn't do great is block, and for him to make this team, he's going to have to do that better. So if he does make the team, he's improved on that asset and that part of it. So that's good for him and for the team.
Again, 201-939.
Thanks for the call.
4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll be reading and sharing your tweets throughout the show. This one is from Ben. He said, Giants have developed Donnell for years. He's a terrific red zone threat. No reason we can't see two tight end formations with he and Ty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, why not? I mean, when you look at some of the games or some of the touchdowns that he's caught, Larry Donnell, particularly in that Washington game a couple of years ago, he is a big threat. And Eli needs that guy down in the red zone. And one thing that the Giants are working on this offseason is being more productive in that red zone. They were one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, not worst. They were in the 20s, or the high 20s. But I figure that, you know, with the tight ends and the mix, both these guys – bottom line with the tight ends, Anita, is they have to block better. If they want to get this running game going, it's important that they do it from the tight end position too, and that's blocking. And really, you know, the check down to these tight ends, we all know they can catch the ball. It's a matter of them holding on to it. You know, those are some of the problems that Larry Donnell and Will Ty have is fumbling. So, you know, as long as you hang on to that ball, you'll be okay, man.
Here's some other tweets for you. This is from Ben as well. He says, I don't think Williams misses holes as much as he always has a defender on him in the backfield. Easy to guess run with him on the field.
Well, you know what? That's a good point. I mean, the way they ran that rotation last year, you know, when he came on, it was just like, yeah, exactly. So they just put everybody in the box. Oh, this guy's going to run the football. Well, throwing some play action in there, you know.
This is from Will. He says, there's something wrong with Williams. You don't have a 2,000-yard rushing year in college by not hitting the hole.
Then that was my point.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, holes in college are much different than holes in the NFL.
Holes open and close faster
exactly.
in the NFL.
Exactly.
So
and,
maybe
and even,
it is.
Even to the point where, you know, you get the ball the hole, and you've taken one step towards the line. The hole has not opened yet. You take that other step. Oh, there it is. The minute you go through it, it immediately closes.
Right.
And it's having that confidence and that trust and believing that, you know what, that hole is going to open, as opposed to, like, getting the ball and then what is it? Not sidestepping, but, like, you know, wait and then waiting for the hole to open. And then as soon as it opens and that's when you're taking your step, it's you're one step too late. That's the difference between college and the pros.
The other thing is that – you know, when he was in college, he was the guy. He had the reps. He was in there constantly. You get a rhythm. You get an idea of how things are working. When you're only playing so much at running back, there is no way to get that type of rhythm going, and also no way to develop the speed of the game. I mean, the guy's still young. You know, you look at Jennings, who's been around a while. He's had a lot of carries in his career. He understands how holes open and close, and how to read an offensive line. He's just not there yet. He's got to get the reps. It's tough.
201-939-4513. We'll get to your calls in a hot second. This is from Freddie. When we opened up the show, we're curious, again, second day of mandatory minicamp here at the Giants facility. Curious, what position battle or what player, specific player, is your quote-unquote dark horse, your guy that you would like to see kind of surface, become a Giants household name? This is from Freddie. He says, I'd like to see Bobby Hart have a breakout season so we can solidify the offensive line for years to come.
Well, I think that that's what a lot of people have in mind, including the organization, is where is Bobby Hart going to be in the future? You know, he's still developing. He's still a very young football player. The guys ahead of him are salty veterans. So for him to crack that starting lineup, he's going to have to do something very, very impressive to unseat some of those. You know, when you talk about Newhouse and you talk about Jerry, I think that they see Bobby Hart as a tackle, so he's going to have to do something special. But, you know, listen, some of these guys, just like any other position, it takes them a little time to learn the game and to develop. And really, him being in his only second year, I think it would be a lot for me to see him starting this year. But I feel that he'd be, you know, growing, and possibly if something happened that he had to go in there, he'd do fine.
This is from E, the chosen one.
Nice.
As fans, our excitement should all be waiting to watch Eli in his third season in this offense.
Oh, no question. I mean, listen, I'm not worried about Eli Manning. I don't think anybody really is. What's the exciting part about it is now with Shepard and with Cruz coming back and Odell, the tight end position, get the running game going. You know, there's nothing more that helps an offense than a good running game. And with Eli coming into this system, he is so ahead of the curve here. He's been in it now a couple of years. I think he understands it, you know, as best as he can. And they're going to throw some new stuff in there. Think about it. I'm not just going to say, oh, this is our second year in the system, we're just going to keep it the same. They're building on this thing. They got some weapons on this offense now with Cruz and Shepard coming in.
Let's go to Kelvin, line four.
He's good question.
He's calling in from Queens. He wants to talk about the offensive line.
The offense?
How about that as a segue?
The offense.
The offense. He wants to talk about the offensive line. Kelvin, welcome in.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
All right.
Good, good. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Figures are definitely thing. I don't care what anybody says. You're all-time great. And, you know, I love you as well, too.
Thank
Real
you.
Real quick, because I have to get back to work as well.
Okay.
I'm actually positive about the offensive line because
good.
I actually like Jerry Reese. Our front office has done everything in their power. These guys are basically going for broke, just making sure across the team everything is solidified, and you want to make sure the last couple of years for Eli are maximized to the fullest. They've done exactly what more could they do? There's nobody left to really pick up, right, on the offensive line.
Nobody's left.
Exactly. We made a six last year in offense, six from nine or something like that, top ten. We're going to get even better. A ton of pickups. Yeah, I'm very, very excited about what our team is headed right now. Very excited. You just listened to Odell yesterday. He's chomping at the bit for the season to start. Chomping at the bit.
Sure.
I'm so excited. So I love where our team is headed right now. I feel like, honestly, my prediction for the season is at least 9-7, if not 10-6. And I'm just excited. I can't wait. I'm just like Odell right now.
Well, we're getting close, I'll tell you that. September's right around the corner. But, you know, that offensive line, that, you know, and thanks for the call, that the offensive line, they just need to get out there. Those guys need to have a chip on their shoulder, and I think they do now because we're all talking about them. Everybody's, you know, just slamming them. And so go out there with a chip on your shoulder and develop that camaraderie amongst each other and be able to play together and develop some chemistry. That'll be important. These guys played together last year. They're coming off, you know, a season where they're offensively they did fine. They just need to get better at the run game, in my opinion, and go from there. But, you know, the cohesiveness, these guys playing together constantly, practicing, going into OTAs and mini camps and now into training camp as those five guys playing together alongside each other all the time, that's only going to help.
All right. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Charlie.
Charlie in Maine.
Charlie in Portland, Maine. This is exciting. He doesn't want to talk about the offensive line. He wants to talk about tight ends.
A part of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Extension.
Well, Jeff just said we need to have them, you know, they need to have chips on their shoulders. We don't need to have cow chips on their shoulder. We need to have blue chips on their shoulder.
Fine. Whatever
that
chip
is
they
the
need.
Problem, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking about cow chips, by the way. You up in Maine probably know all about those cow chips,
right? We do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. But let me just say about the tight ends. Now, we've got a plethora of tight ends, and I think Will Tye would be a great guy to move and to trade and get an offensive lineman. There's Monroe from the Ravens, left tackle, can play right tackle, good offensive lineman. They're ready to cut him or trade him, and there are tackles out there. That is not true, last caller. There are good tackles out there, especially better than Newhouse right now. I would trade Ty. We got LaCrosse. We got Donnell. We got Johnson. We got our rookie Adams. We don't need Ty. And Ty is probably tradable because he's young. He's up and coming. And I think we could get something back for him. And I think we could get a good offensive lineman back. So that's what I would do. I'd definitely bring Monroe in here. And there are guys that are available. And Jerry needs to be proactive. He's got to see there's a weakness on the right side of our line, and we can improve it. So that's all I got to say about that. I would trade Ty in a heartbeat for our offensive lineman. What do you guys think?
See, the Monroe, and thank you for the phone call, Charlie, that he's talking about. You know, I don't know if you know. So he's very outspoken for the use of marijuana.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And listen, hey, all the power to him.
Baltimore,
like,
right?
Yes, exactly. Like, whatever you want to do, whatever floats your boat, yada. And of course, he's talking about for medical purposes. So, but I don't know how much of a red flag that would be, not just for the Giants, but for other teams as well, you know?
I think it's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's a place for it. I mean, if you want to retire and then go be an advocate for it, I mean, listen, it's a big problem in the NFL, and I think that anything that you have associated with that from an organizational standpoint, I don't think is a good thing. So, you know, maybe if he takes a step aside from that stuff and then agrees that he's not going to be a part of it, then maybe things would be different. But, you know, I mean, really, come on. Will Ty, who is going to trade for Will Ty? Will Ty, he went to Stony Brook College, and he's played 1 year in the NFL, Charlie. I know he had a good year, but, I mean, I'm not giving you anything of value for this guy because, I mean, he's in the mix to maybe not make the team with the Giants. I'm not going to trade for him. That's just my opinion. So, but I know that we can talk till we're blue in the face about the right side of this offensive line. We got to wait until July 28th and on. We got to figure out what's going to happen. Let's watch them play together. Let's see what happens. Let's see where the competition is. Let's see what Bobby Hart does. And let's go from there. But, you know, maybe the Giants, between now and then, there'll be a transaction here that makes Charlie happy and they go get an offensive line. But they're sticking with their guns right now. They're going to go with these people. And you're just going to have to get used to it, Charlie. He'll call in every week wanting us to trade everybody for one. But, God, man, when the Giants do get another offensive lineman, I bet Charlie would be the first one to call.
No doubt. Let's go to Las Vegas, one of my favorite cities, Biagio. Biagio?
You said it right, Biagio. Hi, nice to meet you guys.
Hi, fantastic.
First time caller.
Well, welcome in. Welcome to the show.
Sure.
Thank you, Sam. Big Giants fan every year. We travel around, watch the Giants. We'll be in Green Bay this year. You know, tough game. But I listen to you guys all the time and kind of finally decided not to call you guys and talk a little football.
Cool. We're glad to have you.
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, about Victor Cruz. You know, he finally recently got back out there, started running again. And,
he's doing a lot more than just running.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, when I hear a lot about, like, he's been out for 2 years, you know, it's tough getting back. Is that more about just not playing football, or is it more about the injury? Because, like, if he's full speed and he's a go, why shouldn't he be the guy that he was, you know, when he was playing at a Pro Bowl level and hoisting Lombardi?
Well, I think it's a good question, and it's a hard one to answer. I can only tell you from injuries that I've had that, you know, when you rehab, a lot of guys feel like sometimes they come back stronger because of the rehab you're doing. But what you don't understand is that when you get into the parts of the game that you can't really simulate in the training room or do on the practice, like on your rehab, that's when sometimes you feel like, okay, you know what, I can't do this anymore because, number one, my mind's not going to let me do it, or my body part, whatever I have rehab, is just not letting me do it. So a lot of times that correlates into changing different things. You may not be able to run the same way, but, you know, I feel like Victor Cruz understands because what he did, he came off his knee injury, and then he came back and he tried to get ready again, but then this was a different injury. So now, he not only that, he's dealing with two separate things, you know, with his calf and his knee. And so the reason they're taking him on a slow process is that got to get back into these things, but I soon think that once he gets into training camp, he gets the pads on, he's starting to run those routes again, he's going to understand what he can and what he can't do. But every person is different in how everybody responds to injury.
I know you weren't out here yesterday, but did you hear a read? Did you see, like, Victor Cruz? He was doing some skill position stuff on the side, but also did take place in a light jog kind of route running at practice,
sure.
which was really exciting.
I saw it on Giants.com.
It was really exciting for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And if you guys had the time, I know that was great. And I just, because I know your time is valuable, I wanted also to get a quick update on Double O and Eli Apple. Like, what are people seeing from these two guys? I mean, are they starting to really, you know, I mean, as far as Eli Apple, is he really starting to come on? And his Double O, is he staying healthy? Are people seeing his potential really is?
Interesting that you asked that, and thank you so much for the phone call. And I'm jealous of the fact that you live in Vegas. I probably wouldn't have a paycheck left after.
You're that bad of a gambler?
after midnight on Saturday, but I'm jealous. But thank you so much for watching Big Blue Kickoff Live and being a part of the show. Again, while we're hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live, practice is happening. Paul Dottino is texting me. I shared some big plays that took place early on. Here's a follow-up. Apple, great play to break up pass to Beckham. Then Eli, touchdown to Will Ty. He beat Devon Kennard for the touchdown. Apple again breaks up a route for Miles White.
Having a good day.
White scored a touchdown. Jenkins broke up a slant for Shepard. Vereen, running back option right, touchdown pass to tight end.
Really?
Ryan Malik.
Razzle dazzle.
Ryan Malik. And here you go, Larry Donnell, catch and run touchdown. He beat Jenkins on the left side to score a touchdown just a few minutes ago.
So just talking about those tight ends, they're having a big day. Having a big day. But, I, you know, to answer your question with Eli Apple, we're not going to see until we get in training camp. We get into these battles and some of the preseason games. But you're not a number 10 pick in the NFL if you don't think that this guy can play. He'll be fine. He'll go through his rookie, you know, he makes some rookie mistakes. But I think that he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to be an asset to that defensive backfield. That's something that they need, part of the depth. And I think that, you know, one of the guys I probably should have said, but he's not a new – he's new to the team, but he's not new to the league, is Jenkins. I'm really excited to see him play this year because he's got a lot of big play potential, something the defense was lacking last year, and interception for returns, you know, those kinds of things. And that he's going to be fun to watch.
And also, if you recall, I want to say like a month or 2 months back, a lot of the position coaches were made available to the media. And one thing that I did walk away in talking to a number of the defensive coaches is that question, who's that leader in the locker room? Because I think that is a big concern in that locker room for the Giants. They're very few and far between. And the coaching staff believes
Jenkins.
even though this is his first year, we saw it with John Beeson and Montrell
and Antrell Roll
as well. Just because it's his first year, if he has the personality, if he has the swagger, and if his play on the field represents, he could be a leader in that locker room. And there's a lot of coaches that are hoping Jenkins develops into that. Want to remind you that fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, we'll pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Don't forget the U.S. Open is this weekend.
Of course, it always is on Father's Day.
And it is so much fun to play DraftKings golf, and especially
starts tomorrow.
Especially during the major tournament. So if that's something that tickles your fancy,
who you like?
I love Jason Day. I just,
oh, of course.
I mean, how
well,
can
he's
you
a favorite.
Not? He's just a cool guy. Did you hear him talking about his vertigo? Like they were doing, I guess, because he came
last
down.
Year. Remember, he was all those, yeah.
So they revisited that situation, and it was just like, I mean, I just think he's such a cool, and I love Spieth. I just don't know mentally. I don't know if Spieth is kind of, I think he's got to kind of get out of his own way a little bit to get back to true form. He even came out this week and he said that, you know, this is the most stressful turn. I thought the Masters would be the most stressful tournament of all four majors, but they all really claim that this is, the U.S. Open is the most stressful tournament.
Well, because it's the hardest tournament. They make the course ridiculously hard.
Right.
You know, Augusta is hard, but you can attack Augusta. U.S. Opens, they want one under par, even one over. That's the score they want. You know, look at the Masters. They're 16, 15 under. So it's a hard golf course. That's why it's so stressful. So
try to get on DraftKings. Have some fun with the U.S. Open today, this coming weekend. Some tweets before we head back to our phone lines, 201-939-4513. This is Freddie. He says, I also think it's a make-or-break season for Jay Bromley. Remember, we used a third-round draft pick on him. Could be interesting. You've got Snacks, Hankins, and Bromley coming in off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's you know, not a lot of room for error there. I will agree with him, you know, and I think that he's going to have to do something special. You know, another guy there that's going to be a rotational player and has to be able to add a little bit on special teams. Even though he's a big guy, he can still run pretty good, and he'll still have to fit in on some areas. But, yeah, it's a good question. I do believe that. He's going to have to step it up a little bit.
This is from Gorison Leon. He says, I really hope that 00 makes a jump and becomes a weapon for Spags. I really think he will. I really think him and Kerry Wynn. I think both these guys coming off the bench are going to be really solid this season.
Well, I'm not worried about Kerry Wynn, and as far as his knowledge of the game, I think 00 still has a lot to learn as far as the game of football. In a sense, I think that is what's holding him back. I think that the concept, some of the schemes, some of the things like that. So, I know Spags. I know him very well. He will try to make the game simpler for certain guys. And I think the 00 is one of those. And as soon as he learns the game a little bit better, I think his athleticism and his size and his speed will help him.
let's head back out to our phone lines. We go to Dino calling in from Jersey. Dino, welcome. You're on board.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Anita. Big Giants fan. I'm going to talk about our linebackers and our running backs. First,
okay.
I'll start with the running back. I know we have like seven running backs, and now the reason why I think we're having such an issue with the running backs, now let's go back to last year using four rotational running backs in a game, I think was too much, one, for the reason that no one got into rhythm and got enough reps to get into rhythm and, you know,
yep,
get into the game. So obviously last year, obviously Rashard Jennings in for like two plays, he would gain like, he would do good, gain a couple yards, a 10-yard run, 15-yard run, and then he would take him out and bring him Andre Williams. And he really disappointed me last year. Like, I really don't think he sees the hole well. Every time he would come in, I would say to myself, you can just pencil it in. He's going to run into the back of our offensive line. So now back to this year, I know we have, like, seven running backs. I think two of them are probably going to be on special teams. And I really think we should use a three rotational running back. I would use Jennings, the rookie Perkins, I think is going to be good.
Perkins.
From what I've seen as far as his highlights in college. And Shane Vereen. I think that Jennings should get more reps, more touches, so he gets in rhythm during the game, because you can see at the end of the game, he would get more touches and he would get more into a rhythm. So that's one of the things I would like you guys to...
What about Darqua? What don't you like about Darqua?
Well, Darqua, too. He's hurt now, but...
Well, he's hurt now. It's only June 15th.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can see some of these running backs being on special teams.
Well, he's one that will be on special teams, in my opinion. He's probably the best special teams player on the Giants, Darqua.
Yeah, probably.
So that's going to help him keep that roster spot.
Then we have who else? We have Bobby Rainey.
Yeah, Bobby Rainey, yeah, it's a long shot for him to make this team. I mean, you got – the only way I see him making this team, honestly, is that if Dwayne Harris is taken away any of his special team duties as far as returning kicks, because Bobby Rainey can return kicks. He does a pretty good job at it. He was good at one point in time. I don't know if he can still do it, but we'll see.
The only person that's really worrying me is Andre Williams. Like, he really scares me as far as his catching ability, even though they're saying he's doing better with that. But as far as seeing the hole and stuff, like from the first year to the second year was a whole different.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what training camp and the preseason games are for. It's an evaluation process. He will be one that's highly evaluated. And we'll have to see. You know, we're not gonna put the guy out of the uniform yet. But I think that he's got a lot to prove, and he knows that. And I think that he's the young man that'll do it.
Dino, thank you for the phone call.
Sure.
I mean, again, it's really important. You know, we're around the facility a lot, and seeing Andre Williams, and knowing that he gets it. He knows.
Sure.
He knows he's struggling. He knows he needs to step up his game, and he is doing everything and anything he can to try to better his situation.
Well, it'd be one thing if you and I were talking about, you know, Andre Williams, we see him all the time, and he's really hasn't been doing much. I mean, we talked about it. He's trying to improve his sight. He's trying to improve, you know, his mental games. He's losing whatever he's doing. We've talked about it, and that's good. So now we just got to see how it carries over onto the game field.
And let's end the show strong. We've got Brian calling in from Washington.
Hi, Brian.
Brian, what you got?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
First, I want to say thank you. You two are actually my best combination when I watch the show, and I watch it more than I'd like to admit in public.
Thank you, my
thank
friend.
Thank you.
My questions are directed mostly towards the Eagles. I got a little bit of a rant here, but I just want to get your opinion as a former player about the quality of the information that we hear, not only on the show, but then, you know, reading articles and things of that nature.
Okay.
I blame a lot of what's going on with our concern about a particular one part of this team on Paul DiTino squarely, going on and on during the draft about this one particular place. Then after the draft, it really hit me like a ton of bricks that they did exactly what they needed to do, because the team we needed to focus on was the defensive team, not so much the offensive team. If we end up with the same offense that we had last year with the improvements we have on defense, it'd be incredible. I think we'd have a really, really solid team here. So although you can actually improve every position on this team, you can try. And we also have tried, and we always will try. Like, that's the way we do business around here. But just your opinion with regard, and just some information for us listeners, on the value of information from reporters versus the value of information that the scouts have and the managers have, and, you know, the decisions that they make may not be the smoke and mirrors that we see. It's like we take that so literally, like we know we're doing. I think everyone that listens thinks they're a scout.
Well, that's the problem. It would make all of our jobs much easier to report and to talk about things in nature of like the draft and the players and who the team's looking for. But, you know, we're not privy to any of that type of information. And I'll probably speak for a lot of the people that report on this type of stuff, is that these are all opinions of one person, and that's the one commenting on it. And they've judged their judgment on what they're talking about is from their research and what they see, from the knowledge that they have of the game, how long they've been in the business. If you look at this year's draft, and we talked about it, Anita, we've been in here when we were talking about the draft picks and who the Giants wanted. We had analysts on here. Every single one of those draft boards were different. This year was ridiculously different. You know, in the past we can kind of get an idea, but man, you went through the top 20 picks and every single one of them was different. So these are just opinions that are formulated by these one person or persons. And so you can't take any credence into it other than the fact that they, you know, what you want to hear. The guys in this building, the scouts, the general managers, the people in here, they keep their information very private. They keep it to themselves, and then they make the decisions that are going to be best for their team, and we just have to comment about it. So, you know, we're not always right. We're not always wrong, but it's just an opinion that we all have, and we try to make the best of it. We don't try to make, you know, these outlandish comments about people, but, you know, we do a good job on here as far as I'm concerned.
Listen, you know, anyone who watches this show knows that I'm extremely fond of Paul Dottino. I've worked with him for 7 years, and I'll tell you what, I've never worked with somebody who is so committed to their craft.
No question.
And you know this.
Yeah.
I mean, this
and
is
a team.
This is a guy, this is a dude who will stay up until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning watching film. And as we get closer to the draft each and every day, not only is he watching film, but he's calling a lot of his friends that are scouts that are really connected, and he's formulating his own opinion and what he would like to see this team do. I mean, look, he's not always right. A lot of general managers aren't always right. You know, he is, trust me, Giants fans, he is a wealth of knowledge. He dedicates a lot of time. He puts his craft sometimes before his family. Not that that's always the right thing to do, but it is what he does, just to kind of give you an idea of how committed he is to being a pro's pro professionally. And I think that's really important that a lot of Giants fans, love him or hate him, love or hate me, you know, there's people that are just really, really committed to what they do, and Paul Dottino is one of them.
No question. Yeah. And he takes pride in what he does. That's the biggest thing. He is so prideful, and he's a Giants fan just as big as they come. And he tries the best he can, and a lot of people may not agree with him, but most of the time he's pretty spot on, other than when he loses our fact or fiction and over-under segments on our pregame show. But other than that, you know, he's pretty good.
Hey, always fun.
Yep.
Anita.
We got another hour in. Gee whiz.
Always fun when you and I have an opportunity to work together. I really enjoy it. And
good stuff.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I believe, are you back tomorrow?
I don't think so.
Okay, so then if you're not back tomorrow, then I believe, I want to say it's Lance and
I switched up. I was supposed to be out of town Friday, so I went today. So I think I think it might be John. Did you ever do a show with John or no?
I think it's Lance and Paul tomorrow.
Okay. Maybe I switch. No, I switch with Paul. That's what I did. You were supposed to be with Paul today.
Right.
And then he's going to take my slot on
Friday. So I want to say it's Paul and Lance tomorrow. I believe it is. And then I'm with Paul on Friday. I'm really excited about it. So Friday is going to be like a wrap-up show for the 3-day mandatory minicamp. So really excited for Friday's show. For all of us here at the Giants, we thank you all for tuning in every weekday, Monday through Friday from noon to 1. And we will see you tomorrow.